Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. I'm joined today by our editor, Jace Lejeune with Louisiana Football Magazine. It'll be a fun show today. We're going to mostly talk about college football. LSU will be the first two segments. Then we'll talk about all the colleges in general, who won, who lost in Louisiana, all over the country. Watched a lot of college football this weekend. I watched a lot of high school football. I'll talk about my game, Walker and Bastrop, which is going to be our show on Wednesday. Interviews with Brad Bradshaw, the AD at Bastrop High School, the former head coach who won three state championships.
Oh, they were rolling at one point, Lee.
Yeah, they were. They were the team to beat, man, back in the day. They were the talk of Louisiana. And then we're going to talk about high school football, some games. We'll talk about the Neville game and you know, Catholic High had a big win again over Warren Easton.
Yep.
And, Jace, you went to Pope John Paul against Episcopal.
Yep.
And so we'll talk about – that's how we're going to do the show today, because we're not going to go over – we're not going to do any NFL today, just make it college and high school. Let's go ahead and get into our first segment, Jace, which is LSU. And let me throw this out, which is pretty interesting. Wrap your brain around this. So LSU beats Mississippi State, and the fans are not very happy that it wasn't a convincing win. You know how that works. Mississippi State beats North Carolina State. North Carolina State beats Clemson.
It wasn't
Clemson.
Close. Yeah, it was 24-10, and they beat Clemson.
So wrap this around your head. This is college football for you. Clemson loses to North Carolina State. North Carolina State is blown off the field by Mississippi State. This is for the fans. This is just to remind LSU fans that they go, well, Mississippi State's not a very good team. Whoa, time out. Jace, the point I'm making is Mississippi State, the week before, basically blew North Carolina State off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson hasn't lost to an unranked opponent in over 2 or 3 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think the last time was when Syracuse beat Clemson, or it was Pittsburgh. Pitt 1 year with Matt Canada.
Yeah,
they beat.
So the point
Clemson.
I'm trying to make is when people say they're not happy with the way LSU won. Go look at who Mississippi State beat this year and who just beat Clemson. And Clemson's got a great program. They're still a top 10 program. They might not be a top 5 or the team to beat. They don't have Watson at quarterback, and they don't have Lawrence at quarterback, who's struggling, by the way, like most rookies in the NFL. But
yeah,
it's still Clemson who's recruiting top 2 classes now in the last 4 years. They've been in 3 of the last 4 national championship games. And Mississippi State pretty much won an easy game over North Carolina State. And North Carolina State basically went toe-to-toe with Clemson. And so the point I'm making is that LSU is trying to become what everybody wants them to be. And they're basically past what I thought they needed to pass, meaning the trap game was State on the road. Am I saying LSU's going to go 10-2, my original pick? No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is they have a chance to salvage this season and be very respectful. Now, is that the playoffs? No. Is that Atlanta? No. But they have a chance to be 9-3 in the end. They have a chance. Do I think they'll end up 9-3? Maybe 8-4. That's my done pick in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's better than 6-6, 7-5, 5-7. The doomsday picks, okay? That's the picks that you don't want to have.
Well, if you look at, even if LSU did pull off the win against UCLA, you're still probably looking 2-3 losses during the stretch coming up. I mean, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Florida, Texas A&M, Alabama. I mean, it's a gauntlet coming up.
It's the gauntlet. And
it's a gauntlet coming up.
You can't, you know, if you don't establish a running game,
no,
They didn't have a running game against Mississippi State.
And that's why the score was much closer than, than it really was.
Right. They can't run the clock out. They can't have sustained drives. And here's the thing that if you know football, if you know the game, if you have a running game and a young quarterback, your young quarterback is going to do very good if he's got a lot of ability. Max Johnson, to me, is doing a heck of a job with no running game.
Oh, yes, he is.
And some fans are not liking what they're seeing. I don't understand that. But I don't think some people know football very well, but he has no run game.
No run game. And he's getting hit pretty much almost every time he's dropping back
and
to throw.
He's finding a way to have big plays, and those plays are great throws. I mean, the throw that he hit Butte over the middle was a great pass. The pass in the end zone he hit again to Butte was a really good throw. The post open throw to
Cole Taylor
was a great
DBs
pass.
DBs running into each other.
Yeah, and then the bomb he had to
Palmer. Everybody's saying, he had to stop and wait for it. Well, if you got a guy that wide open, you lay it up. You don't try to make the perfect, accurate throw on
that. It was a design play.
Yeah.
And the quarterback made it happen. He finished. He didn't stumble on himself and not get the ball to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But my whole point is, if you give Max Johnson a run game, imagine how good he would be with a run game. And the guy's throwing for almost 300 yards a game. He's got 15 touchdown passes. He's tied with the quarterback from Alabama.
He's actually, I think, second in the nation right now. And I think the only guy that's ahead of him is the SMU's quarterback.
I don't think Kiner is there yet, right? And I don't think Amani Goodwin got enough carries still. For some reason, LSU's trying to get Ty Davis to be the guy. They're still trying to see if he can. And you know what? Ty's not a bad back, but he's a
– He actually had a pretty – I mean, early on, he had a pretty decent game, considering the first couple of games he had.
He's a second slow hit in a hole, and sometimes he's not following where the openings are. I think Ty's still a rotation back, you know? But, you know, right now, I guess they trust him more with the ball. We got to take a break, Jay says. We're going to go take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about LSU football. I'm going to talk about the defense, which did great in the first half, only gave up 3 points to Mississippi State. But the second half, they tend to – it was a little bit different ball game for LSU on the defensive side in the second half. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Burkine. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune, and we're talking LSU football. So the second half, Jace, LSU gave up 3 points in the first half. I did not find the D-line was aggressive in the second half, or and the DBs were playing off the receivers a little more.
Yeah.
I thought they gave up too much room in the second half. I thought, it's my opinion, when you get a big lead, maybe send four most of the time, put a little rush on him. I am disappointed there was no rush with a three-man line because State's O-line's not that great.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that, too. I thought they would get there with three. But as far as the defense and game plan, I mean, that's pretty much what you have to play when you're playing this type of offense. You want this offense to dink and dunk down the field, because when the red zone comes up and you got this type of offense in the red zone, it's going to be hard for them to score. So as far as them dropping back and when those guys be athletes and go up and make the tackle, don't let anybody beat you over the top. I thought that defensively, Coach Durante Jones and the defensive coaching staff, they had a great game plan coming in, and you're really frustrated the Mississippi State offense because they didn't really take any shots downfield.
Well, State went in the game with two running backs that were hurt already.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already hurt. LSU caught a break. If those two backs weren't hurt, they were hurt in the last game I watched against Memphis. So, Leach, you know, the injury report's not always what you think it is, but they had two guys that were hurt against Memphis, their two running backs. I think if State would have had a great running game, LSU would have been in trouble. You know, if they would have had a go-to back that could run at LSU.
Well, the thing was, when they I mean, LSU's giving them the run. When you're only rushing three and you're dropping back eight in coverage, we're like, hey, run the football. We're giving you the run.
But if State would have had
They just didn't really stick with it.
Yeah, if State would have had a better back, it would have been a different outcome, I think. State's got some great receivers. I will say this, Auburn does not have the receiver talent that State has.
No, they don't.
Auburn has nobody that is a phenomenal receiver. I've never seen that at Auburn.
And actually, I think during the season, they had to fire their wide receivers coach.
They did yesterday.
Yep, yesterday. So,
first firing of an assistant of the season. And, by the way, the first coaching casualty of the season, Georgia Southern fired their head coach.
Yeah, I saw that the other day as well.
They played LSU, I think, in 19 or 18 in Tiger Stadium. They beat Georgia Southern. But
yeah, well, second now because Clay Helton was also fired from USC after two games.
Yeah, right. And this was Clay. This was Coach Chad Lunsford from Georgia Southern, who did a good job. It just goes to show you the pressure to win in college football more than 7-8 games. Georgia Southern's got a great program.
They do.
So Auburn's the next opponent in Tiger Stadium. Hey,
did you see the end of that Auburn game?
I did.
How about that?
You know, TJ Finley, he can beat you if you don't rush him. I mean, he'll kill you if you don't rush him. And he did that against South Carolina playing for LSU. He had a great game.
Yeah, he did.
But nobody pressured him. If LSU can't put pressure on Finley, it's going to be a long night. Even if Auburn has an average offense, they got a great running back. Bigsby's a great running back.
Yeah, they do.
People need to not really pay attention to how bad Georgia State is, because Georgia State was in the game to the last minute. Score is not indicative of that game at all. I watched that whole game, basically. But Auburn is going to come here, and they're going to play for Finley. I think they're going to name Finley the starter.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be crazy if they didn't name him the starter after what happened.
Yeah, but I would put a lot of pressure on Finley because he's not mobile.
Mm-mm.
And Georgia State, just let's face it, they're not a D, you know, SEC D line.
He did look like he was slimmer.
He's a little slimmer.
Yeah, he did look like he was slimmer back there.
But you got to watch him on delay draws.
Yep.
And the LSU defense, to me, is going to have to show what they're made of this Saturday coming up. This is going to be the game. If you don't dominate this Auburn offense, then just, you know, forget
about it. Well, Bigsby's the main guy. You have to shut him down. If anybody else is going to beat us, well, I mean, hats off to you. But Bigsby cannot be the guy that beats LSU. If somebody else beats you, well, kudos. Hats off to you.
I want to see this D-line be more aggressive against the run. You know, they're pass-happy guys. They like to rush the passer. But I want to see this D-line for LSU in the trenches, in the dirt, stop a run game. I mean, if Auburn has a lot of success, then our 8-4 prediction or worse is what it's going to be.
Well, we're going to see what happens, because with the way the defense was last week, they were just trying not to give up the big play against Mississippi State. So they're going to go back to the game plan for this week is going to be interesting, to say the least.
Well, in my opinion, if LSU's defense was dominant, they wouldn't have let them come back. Mm-hmm. And number two, there's no depth. For some reason, they didn't rotate but six players, Jace, in the front seven. All that depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? I mean, Jacobian Guillory didn't come in. He looked great in the first three games. Little didn't play any.
Right.
Cherry was the only one to come off the bench a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Roy plays a lot. He rotates. Ollie Gay was a little rusty.
Yeah.
In three games.
Coming off an injury.
Still had a sack.
Yeah.
The only sack LSU had.
Yeah.
I think Damone Clark actually is getting better. I don't know. I think he's
He's come on since the UCLA game. I thought he's improved and should improve.
Mike is getting better too. Mm-hmm. Major Burns is improving every time he plays.
Yeah.
And Flott, man, played the game.
Flott had a good game.
Flott
had a really good game.
I got to admit, I wasn't a big fan of his ability being out in the flats. He was always a good nickelback.
Yeah.
But being the corner for that game, that really impressed me. Look, State's got three or four pro receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodgers does a good job of getting the ball, but they really frustrated him. But again, if LSU fans aren't happy, be happy, because this is not a national championship team.
Yeah, I mean I've been happy.
This is not an LSU team that's going to go run the table and go to the national championship.
No, they're not going to be. But is this a team that's going to have enough talent to upset a team that they shouldn't beat, like an Ole Miss or
Florida?
Yeah, the old what they did that last, they went 5-5 last year. They ruined four of the season. So this is a team that can sneak up on somebody. But yeah, this is not a national championship team by any means. But I mean, look at the Troy year. Like, everybody thought that, oh, this is going to be a terrible season. And, you know, after the loss of Troy, and then guess what? They go, 6-1 the rest of the way, and only lose Alabama.
What's a shame is I think it's an easy year for LSU the way the schedule was laid out if they had a run game.
Mm-hmm.
And some safeties that were more experienced, more on the Grant Delpit, Craig Stelts, LaRon Landry, Brandon Taylor level. But this team's just not built that way. And if you don't see that, then obviously you're watching a game with goggles on. I mean, but
well, this is what game four. Let's see, game four, right, of the season.
Five. Yeah, the 3-1 going in.
Yeah. So this is the fifth game of the season,
fifth
right?
Game of the season. Yeah.
At this point, you are who you are. Yeah.
And the thing is, Jace, Ed Orgeron needs to show the depth. I mean, all these highly recruited players that are not playing yet. Antone Sampe.
Yeah.
Josh White.
Right.
You know. All these linebackers and a lot of your D linemen, they're not playing. They're not getting reps. Are they forgetting they're on the sideline, or they just they can't play? Or I mean, it's, you know, the depth's not, you know, even the highly recruited DB from Pennsylvania, Derek Davis, he's not really getting a lot of reps on defense yet. Jordan Tolles, the highly recruited safety out of Baltimore, Maryland, he didn't get any reps in this game.
No, I mean, Cameron Lewis
looked good.
Yeah, he looked pretty good out there.
But, you know, I mean, anyway, you know, I think LSU, they are who they are, like you said. We're going to take a break. I think LSU, I'll give you a prediction later in the show. How about that?
All right.
I'll give a prediction later in the show. This is the last game outside of ULM that I think they'll probably win.
Yeah, I mean,
that's left on the schedule.
Yeah, I think they're going to be favored against Auburn based on what I've been hearing. They're open as a 3-point favorite, but the rest of the way, it's going to be tough after this.
We'll be right back. I'll take a break.
If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983, your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors.
Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune. Before we get into college football talk, I want to thank our sponsors, John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you if you're looking for a new or used car. And also, Medin's Collision Center, man, they're great people, family-owned in Baton Rouge, Kincaid Avenue, Chris Medin, Domenica Medin, and their son Jesse Medin. Give them a call at 357-7983 if you need a paint job on your car or truck or any repairs. Medin's Collision Center, also Treads and Care Tire Company. They have any tire that you can imagine to put on your car or truck that's tires, brakes, oil changes, alignment, air conditioning repair. They're locally owned and operated, Treads and Tear Tire Company. The number to call is 225-331-8144. Beautiful new location on Hooper Road and Park Place Drive, locally owned by Devin Holly. Great, great people since 1971. Thank you for your support. I want to go ahead and get back to our show. We're going to talk about colleges, Jace. I wanted to share some of the colleges that I was able to watch over the weekend. I'm very impressed with Arkansas.
Yes, they're for real.
And you remember, I was not on the A&M bandwagon.
No, I wasn't either. I thought they were overhyped and overrated.
Arkansas, to me, is not as talented as LSU, but
they
play with more grit.
Oh, yeah. They, on defense, there's like four or five guys rounding to the ball on every play.
None of these kids on Arkansas's defense was highly recruited. None of them.
Mm-mm.
One, Bumper Pool, their linebacker, was highly recruited.
Yep.
The rest of the defense are just guys that they've developed. The offense, outside of their star receiver, number 16.
Burks, yeah.
Who I hope's not hurt. I know he left the game.
He did.
He's 90%. Their running backs were not highly recruited. They've got three great backs. Their starting running back's 5'7", 170.
Yeah, he's small, but he's quick. he is quick.
But this team, I think this is what LSU fans wants to know. Why is LSU not playing with this kind of
intensity.
Intensity.
Yeah.
This is intensity of like, you we're going to win. We're going to battle you from 0 seconds to 4 hours, and we're gonna play you down to the last play of the game. We're going to play you at another level. It's like a bunch of honey badgers that are not.
I don't know
prospects.
What Sam Pittman is telling them, but whatever he's telling them, they are fully bought into
and they
what,
gang tackle.
Everything he's telling them.
They gang tackle. You ever notice that, Jace?
Like yeah, like
seven,
there's four,
eight hats.
Yeah, there's just five or six guys.
You don't see that at LSU.
Mm-mm.
And in A&M, they look like, whoa, like they were hit by a truck because of the aggressiveness that Arkansas takes. They will just take you out of whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And their quarterback, who's really just a big guy, they've actually utilized him as a runner, and he got hurt in the game.
Yeah, he did. He came back, though, but we still don't know how serious his injury is.
He wasn't highly recruited out of Mississippi. He wasn't highly recruited.
Nope.
So the point I'm trying to make is all these recruit rankings – just throw it out. Just throw it in a garbage can because this is a great example of what you can do if you believe and you play hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, just look at Arkansas, and then, I mean, you're telling me Iowa doesn't have a lot of, I mean, five. They don't have any five stars.
What about
stars. Kentucky? Kentucky does a great job. They just develop talent. They fit guys in their system, and they just develop them.
What about Oregon State that beat, I watched Oregon State beat USC. Like a drum. Okay.
Yeah, you know who, like, you compare 5-4 stars, Oregon State, USC, who has more? Well, USC has more, but that necessarily doesn't matter as far as
Oregon
who's going to win games on
Saturdays.
Oregon
State, Jace, went to the Coliseum and put a beat down on USC.
Yeah.
And I mean a beat down. I'm talking about, like, it could have been worse. And USC, Slovis is a great quarterback, but they don't have anything else. I mean, the guy's going to throw 50 passes a game. He'll probably end up with 4,000 yards passing, but he'll probably only have 7 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think UCLA is going to have a tough season overall. They got a gauntlet to go through. Arizona State's better. You know, even Stanford could beat you in any given night.
Yeah, they just beat Stanford on Saturday. Yep.
And then you've got, Oregon's better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They beat Ohio State.
Right.
It's pretty crazy Ohio State had to kick a guy off the team during the game.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Pope, the linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really ridiculous. Just quitting on your team. And in the middle of the game, it happened. I mean, it's a new world, a new era. And sometimes with these, another thing with these recruiting rankings and all of that, I mean, these kids feel entitled. And
yeah.
That's what the star system does.
Well, it goes to show you, he's off the team. It's over.
Yeah.
Now, I respect the coach saying he's going to let him graduate. He's still have use to, academic facilities, but he's off the team. Yeah, you got to, you're a team guy or you're not a team guy.
Yeah.
And then speaking of Louisiana schools, McNeese State got shut out.
Yeah, that was surprising. I mean, now UIW is a good football team, but
– Cornet.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, right. UIW and Cornet they're a good football team. I covered them last spring. But see McNeese getting shut out, that was definitely surprising.
You know who their biggest donor is, Jace, in San Antonio?
Isn't that Benson?
Late Tom Benson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's part of the reason why their facilities and everything are where they are now. That was his school, the Incarnate Word.
Yep.
In San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
ULM won over Troy, man. I'm
shocked.
Two
wins. Yeah.
Yeah, but Troy's good.
Yeah. It wasn't close.
And ULM, I mean, whoa.
They didn't win the game at all last year. They already got two wins already.
Speaking of ULM, prayers for Coach Rodriguez's son, who's in the hospital.
I heard about that, yeah.
And I just pray he's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I know he went to the hospital after the game.
Yep.
Prayers for Coach Rodriguez and his son, who's the quarterback at ULM. Louisiana Tech had a shutout win, which was good.
Yeah, they did. North Texas is they play?
North Texas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Denton.
Yep, they won.
Southern won.
Southern won, Raging Cajuns won, and they beat Georgia Southern. That was the last game Lunsford.
Got the coach fired.
Yep.
Here's an interesting game I watched a little bit. Michigan barely beat Rutgers.
Yeah, it was 2013, right?
In the Big House.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rutgers, they're
not bad.
They're not bad. Yeah. They got their old coach back. He's back again.
Shiano.
Shiano's a good coach.
He's a good fit for Rutgers. I hope he stays there for a while.
TCU lost to SMU. Wow. SMU starting to dominate TCU now.
Yeah. What happened to Gary Patterson's defense at TCU?
Gary should have left. Took a big job. That's one of those things where you stay too long. Now you can't get the big job. I mean, respect his loyalty to TCU, Jace.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's stuck, and TCU's been down for, 3 years?
Yep.
Really not doing anything the last
year. Remember that year where there was a conversation between, and Art Briles was still at Baylor, when they were like, who would go to the playoff with TCU or Baylor?
Griffin.
That was like the last time that they were really relevant.
Yeah.
In college football.
They had Boykins at quarterback. They were pretty
Boykins,
good.
Boykins, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They just don't have the talent they did have back in starting it out.
Right.
Florida State is 0-4.
Yeah, they lost to Louisville. I mean,
at Tallahassee.
Can you imagine?
Florida State is now Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
they're probably worse than Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska at least has been playing pretty quick. Like, they almost beat Michigan State. They almost beat Oklahoma.
Almost.
But at least it's almost. Right. I mean, they're not even competitive.
You know, in the day of quitting and social media, what do you tell your team when you're 0-4 and you're Florida State? I mean, what do you do? How do you get this team motivated?
I mean,
you're just starting your ACC schedule.
Yeah, right.
You still got Georgia Tech. You still got Clemson. You still got all these top teams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell them?
Well, I mean,
you
want to
keep your scholarship, play hard.
Yep, that's why I tell them, like, we're going to find out which guys really want to be here and which guys are going to want to turn this thing around. We're going to know the next couple of weeks which guys are really – you can tell them which guys are really want
to
be a part
of this
program.
Good luck to him, man, during this time and age.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already cleaned house. So he already ran off all the bad guys.
Yeah.
And now you got all the good guys, and it's like, man – Well, the good news is LSU, if they're not doing well, they can go to Florida and
steal some from
Florida State.
Well, that's next year. LSU opens up against Florida State.
But you can steal some prospects now because Miami's down too.
Mm-hmm. And some people are saying, well, both coaches still be there next year at that time. So
I don't think Florida State can afford to fire another coach.
Yeah, because they already Taggart. Willie Taggart was there for 2 years, and – I mean, you can't do it. It takes time to build something back up. It doesn't take a 1 year thing to build back up, especially a Division I Power Five program.
Watch out for BYU, man. They just keep winning. They're a sleeper top 15 team. Now, Oklahoma has survived so many upsets lately. West Virginia was so close. Tulane was close.
They're hanging on the edge.
They're on the verge to lose a couple of games. They just don't look very good to me.
They haven't hit their Big 12 schedule yet.
Texas is ahead of the game right now.
Yeah, I think Texas beats them.
Texas is looking good.
Yep.
I mean, he's got new quarterback and Thompson.
And it shows you how good Arkansas is because they made Texas look like not a good team at all.
Look, Arkansas is going to Georgia this week.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win that game, man, is he coach of the year already by beating Texas?
Already. He swept Texas.
Texas,
he beat Texas,
A&M.
Texas A&M. And you want to beat Rice. I mean, he beat Rice, too. So,
and look, Arkansas is not a very super talented team. They just believe. These guys will come on. They put the helmet on.
They play hard.
They play hard. I just would love to see that back at LSU, that intensity.
Mm-hmm.
That gang tackling, helmets, 8 helmets to the ball, you don't see that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't.
Yeah.
You didn't see it for State.
No.
It was kind of like two teams that looked identical. The only difference was Max Johnson rose to the top with the receivers.
Yeah. Well, that's a positive. You can this passing offense is going to keep LSU in games, but at the same time, and it comes to the very end, you're going to have to run the ball. And you're going to have to make key defensive stops on third down. That's what it comes down to.
Finally, Tennessee plays with that same attitude as Arkansas. Tennessee has nothing left. They had like 30 guys transfer out, right, when Pruitt was fired.
Yeah.
They have nothing. This guy's brought in 50 new players with junior college transfers. Man, they play their butts off in Gainesville.
I've already seen, I mean, even though the wins haven't shown just yet, I've already seen a lot of improvements already for Tennessee. I think Tennessee should be excited with where it's heading.
I don't know if it's always the team that's the underdog that plays that way, but it just seems like that's what you're seeing.
Right.
Because Tennessee's not talented. And look, for 2.5 quarters, They were neck and neck with Florida in Gainesville.
They were. I watched the game.
They ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
They just
don't have the horses that Florida has.
Maybe 8 to 10 players are going to be better, and they could have won that game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Florida, to me, is not overrated, but they're not a playoff team. Does that make sense? They're not the playoff team, people.
To me, they exceeded my expectations.
Yeah,
coming in this year.
I think Mullen is a quarterback whisper. I mentioned that 3 months ago. I think when he gets Anthony Richardson back, it's going to be trouble for a lot of people. But as far as Emory Jones, I'm not really – I don't think he's – I think he's not – he reminds me a lot of Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah.
Tall, can run a little bit.
Athletic.
Not great, but can run a little bit, can throw enough,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't do anything great.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And he's played a lot of ball to be better than he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Florida fans are like, oh, he's coming to his own. Well, the guy played like 28 games the last 2 years.
Yeah, even though it was like a wildcat type of thing, he's been in this offense for a long time.
I'm just not impressed with Florida. If you have a run game, Alabama, anybody can. Even Tennessee ran on Florida, Jace, with two running backs that just came out of junior colleges that weren't even there in the spring. We got to take a break. Jace is letting us know we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about high school football. We'll be right back.
Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Lee Burkeen, your host. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune. Jace, I'm going to talk about the game I went to Friday night. Walker in Bastrop. Bastrop from North Louisiana, which is almost in Crossett, Arkansas. And I had a treat. I ran into a Hall of Fame coach that I did not even know. I'm embarrassed to say, was the AD, or is the AD at Bastrop, Brad Bradshaw, who's going to be our Wednesday show, along with his star linebacker. And also we interviewed an assistant coach from Walker High School, Coach Tomplay.
Yeah.
And we talked about what it's like to go through a game day. Me and Tomplay, Tomplay's their media guy, he's their camera guy, he's their video guy.
Right.
And I let him kind of share what it was like to be – you know, all day and what it's like to set up for a game 5 hours before a game.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes. It's kind of neat. So that's Wednesday's show. Bastrop's very young. Very young. Very talented, but very young. So young that you could just, you know, they're just not ready to be a power, you know, right now. But they play hard. They're all sophomores and freshmen, which is not good for the rest of the state for next year. They got a very talented quarterback, Jace. It's about 6'2" that's going to be really good once the lights go on. And they got a great tight end. They got a bunch of big young linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a bunch of young guys coming up at skill positions. Walker, on the other hand, is a great offensive team.
Yep.
No defense, hardly. Now, they got a great, like, they play hard, you know, the kids play hard. But in 5A ball, they just don't have that dominant 5A defense you need to get to a state title game.
Right.
Meaning Walker can put up 35, 42 points every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But can they stop a Zachary, a Scotlandville? It's going to be tough for them to do that. They play hard. They just don't have the guys that their opponents have at the upper echelon in 5A ball.
Sure. Yeah, they'll probably get a lot of wins, but like you said, that district they play in is as tough as it gets. You play Scotlandville, Zachary.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's hard to play against those guys.
You know, and Live Oak has got a very good defense.
They're stingy. Live Oak seems like they've always been really stingy. Live Oak has been. And so, I mean, there's a lot of talent in that district.
Yeah, but Walker, the program, where it was 7 years ago and where it is today, it's just another atmosphere. I mean, they didn't even make a playoff game until Mahaffey showed up. They won one with him.
Yep.
And he's got it going to different heights. It's just, again, they just need to win a state championship. They just need to get a better D-line or linebacker. They need some more talent there, but they got good kids.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Pope John Paul in Slidell.
Yep, I did. Episcopal. which was before the game. This was 149 before Coach Travis Bourgeois. So he actually won his 150th game at Episcopal in 22 years as head coach over there. So congratulations to Coach Bourgeois.
Kudos, Coach.
On the big victory there, milestone win for him. And, yeah, Episcopal was really working on the second half because both games, they had big leads. Like, they had, I believe, a 22-0 lead on Country Day in the first half. And then the first game against East Louisiana, they had a 14-point lead. And both games were a lot closer in the second half. And defensively, they just don't have the depth as they usually have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's affected them the first couple of games. And they worked on the depth, the second, third string guys, because it was 34-0 in the first half. Hope John Paul, I like Coach Phil Pigott and what he's doing over there. And trying to get these guys to believe because they won in other sports. Like, they won the state championship in soccer, and they've won in different sports. Yeah. So trying to believe and, you know, really recruit these guys to come and join football. And I've already seen some strides, or even though it might not really necessarily show on the scoreboard, I did see some strides made by them. And then for Episcopal, the gauntlet's coming up, and they got Catholic Point Coupee coming up. So the season's going to really start and really see how good this Episcopal team really is.
You know, I like Carmouche, number one.
Yeah, he's really good.
And Thomas Nearman's a phenomenal player.
Those two guys are going to have to stay healthy in order for this team to make a run.
And I think Dryden Dugans is a great a young guy that's getting some time. He's coming on as receiver.
Yep.
Cresson, like you said, is a really good defensive player for them, too.
Right.
And his younger brother, number 44, is good.
Yeah.
They're trying to develop, as you know, a lot of young guys to get that depth.
Sure.
And I guess they were able to do that Friday night.
Yeah, they were able. A lot of guys came in. Because being up 34-0, you're going to get a lot of guys opportunities. And the second, third string guys came in and made some plays. And as far as the quarterback position, too, they were trying to see what they can do in the passing game. And Lewis Ward has really impressed me so far because it's not easy when you have to replace a guy that's signed with a Division I school in Dylan Rocha. So – yeah, him and then the backup quarterback, Cooper Broad, looked pretty good. So it's not really – they were both battling for the starting quarterback position, and both of them looked pretty good.
Yeah, and I also want to mention that your alma mater, Catholic High, won another big game over Warren Easton. I mean, another juggernaut program win. They've beaten more big-name programs in 4 weeks than anybody in the state. And then Brother Martin and Jesuit had the game of the decade in New Orleans.
Three overtimes.
I mean, incredible. Who won? Brother Martin won.
Brother
the game.
Martin won.
I mean, really, that's one of those games where you just hate anybody to lose.
Mm-hmm. Both teams deserve to win. That's a Catholic League. It's like the SEC.
Well, you know, Jack, the quarterback from Jesuit, Larry Ayers, was on our cover.
And so was Brother Martin's quarterback.
So Brother Martin's quarterback, Mama Hat.
Yeah, both of them were.
Great quarterbacks. I think they're both D1. And then Dennis Daugherty's a big-time linebacker from Jesuit. You've got, Corey at DB for Brother Martin.
Yeah, Corey Lambert.
Lambert's a great player.
Lambert's son, yep.
And Antoine Brown from Brother Martin's a heck of a linebacker.
Good linebacker
and
for
him. And Rantlett, their linebacker from Brother Martin. They're very good on defense again at Brother Martin.
Yeah, it must have been a low-scoring game because it was like 24-21 or something like that and three overtimes. So you got to consider how they started the game.
And those are two of the tougher teams in the state outside of Catholic High. And then speaking of tough, Neville lost to St. Thomas More, but A.J. Allen had another great game.
Yeah, he did. And it was a good one to watch if you're an LSU football fan because those are the two big LSU commits, and Will Campbell and Walker Howard. And St. Thomas More came back to beat Neville, and in the process of doing so, Walker actually passed his dad in the all-time passing yards list at St. Thomas More. So, it was a good Friday night for Walker Howard.
I also heard that Walker Howard probably will graduate early.
Yeah.
And not something that you see at St. Thomas More. He'll be the first player to graduate from St. Thomas More and enroll at LSU in the spring, which I think is great. Which you'll have him and Nussmeier and Max Johnson.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be an interesting quarterback competition there. Yeah,
but you know what? You need that. You need that. But LSU needs to get back to signing big time O linemen and safeties.
You know, it certainly helps if you sign Will Campbell and then you like Debrie Jones for Catholic. He's a good big time prospect. And Yep.
They need a couple of more. Big time players.
They do.
They need a big time safety, or they need to move somebody to safety that can be a big time safety. But even if Major Burns isn't being a good player, they need another one. There's no such thing as too much depth. I'm hoping Sage Ryan finally gets on the field this week.
Yeah, gets healthy. Yeah.
Because I put in our preview magazine that he would be starting right away, but it turned out he was hurt all of camp.
I think it's the same nagging injury he had against the Pistol in that playoff game. It's been the same injury that he's trying to overcome.
Then you can move Jay Ward back to corner. Mm-hmm. Right, and if Stingley don't come back, you're still really good at corner with him and Flott
and McLaughlin
and Ricks.
Ricks.
So, I might look like a genius because I put Jay Ward at corner in my preview magazine, knowing that this possibly could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hopefully Derek Davis or Jordan Tolles
steps up. Yeah,
and then Sage could be he could come in at free or strong, but I'm hoping that kid, he's too good. I hope he gets back to health. And I want to mention, Jace, before we close, my thoughts and prayers to the Ryder family. A good friend of mine, Kelly Ryder, passed away. Dr. Ryder was on our show two or three different times.
Our TV show.
And
he was
talking about concussions and just really tore up over that. I mean, I found out actually this morning from you telling me. I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't believe that he's gone. And I just want to, my condolences to his family. He's from the Abbeville area.
Yeah, Abbeville, yep.
And Kelly Ryder, Dr. Kelly Ryder, gone way too young.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great guy. Man, he traveled all over the country helping people. He would go all over the country, all over the world, trying to help people that were sick.
Yeah, he worked with some NFL teams.
Yeah, all over the Cincinnati Bengals, Dallas Cowboys. He still had those guys flying and see him here in Baton Rouge. And again, my prayers to the family and condolences go out to the Ryder family, Kelly Ryder.
Yeah, such a nice guy, such a shame. And, we talked about Dr. Ryder and Kevin Franklin a couple weeks ago.
Too many good people are
going way too soon. It's just such a shame.
Any final thoughts about LSU or high school, college, Jace, before we go?
Well, as far as a note for everybody to keep an eye on is that only one high school coach in the entire country has had 600 wins, and that's John McKissick. In South Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, John Curtis defeated St. Aug 42-16. So now JT is at 599. So he needs one more to get 600, and he'll be the only other coach to have 600 wins. So that's pretty incredible. We talked about milestone with Coach Bourgeois, but, man, 600 wins.
Well, this is what's crazy. You said it. When he wins two more, he will be the all-time winningest coach ever in high school football. Now, think about that. Ever in the United States. This is not just Louisiana. This is the winningest coach all-time in the United States.
Yeah, so I say John McKissick has the all-time record at 621. So it looks like JT will get that next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he needs 21 more victories. Yeah, next year could be the year that JT becomes the all-time winningest coach.
I think he gets it next year.
I think so, too.
And they'll have a good year this year. They play an unbelievable schedule, but they'll make the playoffs. They'll be in the thick of this. They'll have a chance to go to the state title game. They always do. Even though we talk about Jesuit and Brother Martin, Rommel's been good of late.
Yeah.
But really, I think it's a four-team race right now. I think it's St. Aug, Jesuit, Brother Martin, and Curtis in that district to win it.
Yeah,
Catholic League. All four are incredible right now. And Holy Cross is very young and talented. I saw them play this year.
Yeah.
Rommel's good, but they're not what they were.
Yeah, they've lost some players.
They're young. Corey Aviard, the quarterback's young. He's going to be really good.
He's going to be talented. He's really talented.
But Jesuit is built to win one this year. Brother Martin again.
Yep.
Curtis and St. Aug has got an awesome team this year.
Yep. Yep, and Shaw's continuing to make strides.
Shaw's making strides. Coach Connors has got him going in good places, and I watched Shaw play this year. I'm impressed. They're bigger. They're more athletic than they've been in several, maybe 10 years, but they're not still on the level of a Curtis, Jesuit, you know, Brother Martin, St. Aug, but hey, they are 10 years better than they were in the last 10 years. They actually got some O-linemen that I really like a lot. They're going to sign with colleges in a year or two. Very young guys.
And Alexandria, another note, they've averaged 56 points per game,
Bachman's got it going on, man, at Ellick. I saw him this summer. I watched a couple of games this year. Bordelon's their new quarterback. Once Bordelon gets experience, they're going to be just like they were last year. I mean, basically, you got a young guy that's just, you know, needing some reps. But they're, look, Jace, their O&D line and their skill guys are phenomenal again.
Yeah, and then we talked about Skylineville. Skylineville hung right there within the car. It was 48-33.
Skylineville can be as good as they want to be. Mm-hmm. If they can cut down on penalties, they could be one of the best teams in the state. It's just they keep, what is this old saying, shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, yeah, they keep having these same penalties, like offsides, illegal procedures, you know, just stuff they can correct.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won the game against Warren Easton. Yep. They were up by a lot.
Yep.
And actually, they should have won a few games that they played this year. But I would not want to play the Hornets in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they're as talented as they got. And big win for De La Salle. They beat Lake Charles Prep. I mean, that's a big win for them.
De La Salle's got a great team. I mean, Ryan Manali left them with a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, you know, they got a senior quarterback that's very good. They got a very good OD line. They got a lot of, you know, that's a team that's due for a state championship, Jace. They've been in two in a row.
Yeah.
Or is it three?
They've been to two in a row, but they've been to three overall under Manali.
Right, three out of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so close to winning the state championship, and they're still going to be good enough to maybe get to one this year. So
yeah,
it's
probably going to be them. Probably it's probably a three-horse race in that playoff. It's probably going to be either them, U-High, or St. Thomas More as far as those three. Yeah,
and somebody could sneak in.
Yeah, never know. Never know what team gets hot late in the season. But those are just some of the notes that happened. There were a lot of things that happened. Pearl River's running back,
Brian
Jenkins, had another 300-plus yard performance. And, man, I mean, Pearl River continues to produce some really good running backs. So it's like he's the next one.
All right, we got to end the show. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. If you still want to order a preview magazine for South, North, or digital, we'll see you on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.